Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. James Bostic here. Conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you go to find the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And when you go, you just type in Patriot Nation, or you can check out Facebook for any of the so many links we try and spray around the internet, particularly of Facebook. We got a lot of stuff there, social media. So we do it twice a week. We do it Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then we have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays at 4 p.m. And that's on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. Another website where you can go, and if you go there, and if you're not with you, you're not near the desktop or the laptop, no problem. You got your device handy. They have an app, iHeartRadio. You can go there and you can check it out as well. The way they have it set up, you can go to the programming schedule, and you can listen to whatever is current or whatever is on, or you can go back, just scroll down, and you can find your program that you want to listen to in the archive version and listen there. Outstanding programming. Outstanding host, rarefied air for a conservative's perspective, and we're really glad to be there. I hope everybody had a terrific Memorial Day weekend, and at some point, I'm sure you were probably mindful as to what we are to remember Memorial Day weekend, and I hope you had a terrific one. There are a couple of lawyers in Washington, D.C., Joseph DeGeneva and his wife, Victoria Tenzing, and they have been paying close attention to the story that has encompassed us all these last 2 years. And that's, of course, you know, the Mueller delusion, the Russian collusion delusion, and this hoax report from Bob Mueller, who will not testify, guys. He is not going to testify in front of Jerry Nadler, in private or in public. And we'll get into that. I don't think he will. And I think I know what motivates him not to. But Joseph DeGeneva was a District of Columbia attorney, I think maybe with the Justice Department. And so he has traveled. His little platelet has traveled the Department of Justice bloodstream, and he knows a little bit about the inner workings of government and how things go down in between agencies. And there are a lot of people whose clips I've played for you in terms of speculation as to what's going on, or in terms as to what we can look for to see what's happening as Attorney General William Barr delves deeper into this. And Mr. Genova was on WMAL, which is a D.C. area AM talk radio show. He has a regular slot there. About a 14-minute clip, I know, and I apologize to you cats for getting so wrapped up around the axle about this story. But here's the thing. It's a big story. No, you know, CNN and Rachel Maddow and all those cats would have you believe that it was a big story until the Mueller report came out as a bust, and now it's not so much. Well, that's not true. It is oh so much now, because for the last 2 years, you know, we've been breaking down this story, and the evidence has been kind of thin, and points of evidence that bear out certain theories or speculations kind of few and far between. Well, that's changing. And without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and pull up Joe DeGenova from
I'm Vince Colonies alongside Mary Walter.
Good morning. Joining us now, Joe DeGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter to everybody.
Same
Happy
to you.
Easter to you as well. Joe, the Mueller report is the ultimate.
Whoops. Wrong DeGenova clip. Let's try that again.
Joining us now, Joe DeGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, thanks for joining us this morning.
Happy Memorial Day, and remember all our fallen heroes.
Absolutely. Joe, the president made a big announcement. He authorized Attorney General Bill Barr to declassify all materials related to the Russia investigation. So where is it? Where is it? How come we haven't had anything yet?
Full-scale war. Let me tell you exactly what's going on here. This is very important for the listeners. When Bill Barr became Attorney General, the president said, see if you can get to the bottom of what happened during the campaign. Bill Barr tried to do that, and you will recall from his interview with Fox, he said he now had more questions than he had when he started. Chris Wray, the current FBI director, was stonewalling the current Attorney General, Bill Barr, on disclosure of certain information about FBI conduct. It got very, very heated. So, and Gina Haspel, the CIA director, was also resisting disclosure of certain information. Barr got fed up, went to the president and said, Mr. President, I can't answer your question, and here's why. And the president said, fine. 24 hours later, the order came out. This is full-scale war between the Attorney General of the United States and, believe it or not, another FBI director who thinks he's James Comey. Christopher Wray is a disaster. He's an unmitigated disaster. But I want you to just think about this. Look at two newspaper headlines. May 24th, Washington Post, unease as Barr's power grows. Carryover headline, current former officials fear distortion of FBI CIA's work. Next day, New York Times, order to review secrets pits CIA versus Justice Department. Order to review secrets sets up power struggle. You are watching the quintessential Washington power battle. And here's the problem for the agencies, the FBI and the CIA. They have one disadvantage. They can leak to the Post and the Times, but they do not have subpoena power, and Bill Barr does. we are headed toward a gigantic, gigantic fight. The intelligence community, which includes the FBI, is in full resistance to disclosing what they did during the presidential campaign. But here's the other problem they have, and they're very fearful of. The FISA court has already found that there was political spying going on starting in 2012. Not 15, not 16, 2012. Why was that spying going on in the Obama administration? The FBI and the CIA desperately fear that if these disclosures become publicly known in a wide-ranging way, their powers may be cut back, FISA may be restricted, and some additional people may go to prison. This Christopher Wray is now standing in the way of history. Make no mistake about it. Christopher Wray has become an enemy of the people.
Joe, you're saying some pretty big things. And the one, of course, that you obviously acknowledge is the biggest is this battle between the FBI director, Christopher Wray, and Bill Barr. Can you give us any more sense of this? You said that this is a fight that took place 24 hours prior to the president granting Bill Barr the authorization to declassify?
It took place over a number of weeks. But the attorney general was unable to get the information that he needed to answer the questions of the president of the United States. Remember what this is. This is the president of the United States asking his new attorney general with full power to find out what went on. The FBI director is saying, no, you're not going to be able to find out all that's going on. So that happened over a period of time, and eventually, you know, Bill Barr is a very serious lawyer. He's not the kind of guy who loses his temper. This was not the sort of thing where there would be a blow up. This would be that fine, Chris, if that's what you want. Now, I'm just telling you, this is my impression from everything that I know. I've not discussed this with Bill Barr or Christopher Wray, but let me tell you something. I came to Washington in 1967. I haven't left. I know what I know. And what's going on now is a battle royal, not between Bill Barr and Chris Wray per se, although that is happening. It is a fight between accountable government, between agencies that have resisted for years and succeeded in not being accountable. They've met their match. An attorney general who not only is smart, but who used to work at the CIA, who is a litigator, and who has subpoena power. If these people resist, if they get to the point where they will not, for example, listen to this. Now, just think about this, if you will, for a minute. The New York Times, in its story, and the Washington Post, in its story, you know, going crazy over this power being devolved to Barr, say that one of the things that the CIA is really worried about is that their key informant, who's very close to Vladimir Putin, may be revealed. Okay, now, just ask yourself this question. If you really thought that this source was so important, would you tell the New York Times and the Washington Post? Do you think that Putin and his people don't know at this point who that person is, since there are already stories written about it in 2018? This is so stupid what the agency and the FBI are doing. They are literally at war with the President of the United States and his Attorney General. This is unbelievable. And, you know, I tell people, read your papers carefully, and you've got to follow this. This is as big as it gets in a democracy.
Joe, on whom are they spying in 2012? I want to go back to the FISA warrants. You said the FISA warrants go back to 2012.
No, these are not FISA warrants.
Not FISA
warrants.
That's
the scandal. These are not FISA warrants.
Okay.
What these are illegal access to NSA databases about American citizens. They are called Section 702 queries. 702 is a section of the National Security Act which allows searches under FISA for certain information about Americans, but it must be minimized and it must be kept very, very secret. In fact, those inquiries made by four FBI contractors were illegal. Those queries were made about Americans. Those queries were used to unmask Americans. Those queries were then used to use the unmasked information to leak information to the press about Americans. This is what they really fear.
Joe, want to talk to you about FISA warrants, though, and something that was said by Sheila Jackson Lee back in December of 2018.
She was apparently off her meds that day.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're joined by Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, Sheila Jackson Lee, during a December 2018 House Judiciary Committee hearing with former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, was asked about some FISA warrants. And she says she talks about Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, and says one thing that all of these persons had in common was that each was the subject of a FISA court investigation, which we now know, and all were directly connected to Trump. Loretta Lynch replies, yes. Now, we never knew that anyone other than Carter Page had FISA warrants taken out against him. So there were four now that we know about.
Don't conclude that. First of all, you have two dumb people talking to each other. You have Sheila Jackson Lee, who is a total idiot and who really is a very, very disturbed person. I mean, her brain is just – but also Loretta Lynch, who it could be the dumbest attorney general in the history of the United States. Do not what they may have been referring to unwittingly are what I just discussed, illegal surveillance on some of these people by these queries. What happens is when you go into a 702 database, you get everything. Phone calls, text messages, emails, everything. Remember, the National Security Agency scoops up everything. And by the way, they have Hillary Clinton's 30,000 deleted emails at NSA, if anybody wants to get them. And I'm sure that Huber and John Durham are going to get them. Here's the deal. We don't know if there were other FISAs. We do know that there was extensive illegal spying by going into these databases at NSA. What probably they're referring to is that these other people, other than Carter Page, were spied on by using NSA databases without authority, by using contractors. That's, by the way, Adam Schiff knows all of this. That's why he is fighting so desperately to have everybody stop. Because the great scandal is not what happened in 2016, although that is a great scandal. It's what happened starting in 2012 when they were illegally accessing NSA data. By the way, anybody who wants to know about this can read the FISA court opinion of April 26, 2017, in which this is all discussed. This is not something that's a surprise to anybody. That's what the FISA court was furious about. That's why they reprimand, and that's why Ash Carter and James Clapper tried to fire Mike Rogers, the head of the NSA, who discovered all of this and revealed it to the FISA court. This is what Schiff and the Democrats are fighting against. They fear desperately that what will happen is all of this illegal spying from 2012, which nobody has reported on, except Marketplace and Sundance, the conservative treehouse, they will find out and it will become a much bigger story. Now, of course, the press will be totally disinterested in this. And that's why what Barr is doing is so important, because the legal conclusions that he reaches will be history.
Joe, you said those 2012 FISA abuses were the source of leaks to the press.
These are not FISA abuses. These are NSA database abuses.
Okay. And okay, so, I'm sorry, but you mentioned FISA powers, though, when you were explaining it. No.
Yes, it's you're right. It's under that statute that you are allowed to make these inquiries if you have a proper footing.
Just making sure I heard you correctly. Okay, so when those 2012 abuses you said were used as a pretext to leak information to the press, who were they targeting, the 2012 abuses?
Politicians, opponents of the Obama administration. How do you think Samantha Power got 250 names? How do you think she was able to seek the unmasking of that many people? She says it wasn't she that did it. She says someone did it in her name. Now, who do you think made 250 queries of NSA databases in her name.
Mm-hmm.
It was the four contractors who were working for the FBI, read James Comey, who were unauthorizedly accessing NSA databases. That's the scandal. That's what this is about. That's where Samantha Power's 250 names came from, the people who were the contractors working for the FBI.
There's a big lack of curiosity about contractors using government officials' names.
Isn't there?
To access information like that. So now that Bill Barr has this power that the president has extended to him to declassify all of this information, what's at the top of your wish list for him to go after first?
Well, he needs to put John Carlin in the grand jury right after Mike Rogers. The former head of NSA, Mike Rogers, is the American hero in this entire story. It is he who revealed the illegal spying, which started in 2012. It is he who went to the FISA court, and it is he that John Carlin, Ash Carter, and James Clapper tried to get fired for going to the court. I would put Mike Rogers in the grand jury first as a friendly witness, and then the next witness would be John Carlin, the former head of the National Security Division of the Justice Department. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody's ever heard the name, but he is the person who tried to get Mike Rogers fired for being honest with the court. And John Carlin is also the person who filed, just before he resigned from the Justice Department, a false certification to the FISA court that they were obeying the rules when, in fact, they weren't. And when Judge Collier issued her opinion, she accused John Carlin of what she called an institutional lack of candor. In other words, he lied to her.
Wow. Well, Joe, thank you. Really appreciate you taking the time on this Memorial Day to join us this.
Okay. That's it. Now, here's the thing. What they're talking about here, and that did get kind of weedy. I'm sorry, but, you know, we got to get in it. Everybody is making a big deal about the FBI spying on the Trump campaign and all the stuff that they did. And that's bad. That's absolutely bad. I am talking to you on a speakerphone now. Evidently, my call into Blog Talk through the computer failed. I'm guessing you can hear me. So what happened with this is Admiral Mike Rogers, the guy they were talking about there, found out about it all. He figured out what they were doing. And so he went to the Trump campaign and he told them, and, you know, everybody started making fun of Donald Trump over saying that it was bugged, that is, that the offices were bugged. And while he wasn't technically correct, yeah, they were spying on him. They were doing electronic surveillance on the Trump campaign through Carter Page. Well, what they had been doing, and they've been doing it for a long time, they had been doing it for 4 years previous to this, just as they weaponized the IRS against Tea Party groups, they weaponized the intelligence community against political opponents. Ouch. So what does that mean? Well, that means that the biggest, perhaps most frightening political scandal in the history of the country just got a little bigger. It just got a little bigger. And what it shows is that this thing isn't going to stop with James Comey. It's not going to stop with Jim Clapper, with John Brennan, with Lisa Page or Peter Strzok or Bruce Cernelli or Christopher Steele, who refuses, by the way, to cooperate with Justice Department Attorney John Durham about coming over and talking about this dossier. Now, remember, the linchpin to the FISA warrants, the background for all this stuff, the Mueller report for collusion, for he's a Russian spy, kill him, all this has to do with this dossier that was assembled by Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele was called upon to give a deposition in a slander trial. I think it was slander libel, one of the two, in the United Kingdom. And this subject came up. And when he was asked about it, he said under oath, he could not verify any of it. And actually, if we looked at it, it would probably be he would not verify any of it. Why? Well, because he could not. So, with a non-existent linchpin, you don't have much of a machine. But this one clanked along for 2 years, parts falling off of it, wheezing and puffing until it came in to absolutely nothing. No collusion, no obstruction. But the point is, this was one operation. What we're talking about apparently with the Trump campaign was one operation among a number of operations that took place over a much longer period of time than we imagined for the purpose of conducting surveillance on political opponents. What's that mean? Well, you know, I don't like that Rand Paul. He's a Republican, libertarian. They kind of give me the hives. Let's find out who he's talking to. Let's see what's going on. That's it. That's why they did it. Think about that for a minute. That's what the KGB does. That's what the GRU did. That's what the Gestapo did. That's what the SAVAK did. And apparently, it's what Barack Obama and his minions did a lot of. So again, that's why I say it's not going to stop at James Comey or John Clapper. John Clapper is getting scared, guys. He's getting scared half to death. So is James Comey. So is Jim Clapper. And they should be. They should be horrified. Well, I'll tell you what, we're down to the bottom of the hour, and I'm feeling a little disoriented where my microphone failed me, and I can't call back into the show, so I'm stuck on the speakerphone. So if there's any diminution in the quality, I'm sorry, but the show's got to go on. We will be back. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11, EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO, EO, EO 11, EO 11. about a dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head. Dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block long limousine, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of folding green, E11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for four score years and seven. In the meantime, E11, 11.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
Watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toy. I found a new pastime to dwell on. Whenever I detect members of the other sex, I play the game I do so well. Oh,
I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher, watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now.
I guess we're back. Sammy Dean and the Occasions. And I'm a girl watcher. Takes me back to the old timey days. Okay. Still dealing with technical deficiencies, but we're going to go ahead and press on. What are the implications of all this? You know, we look at this stuff all the time. We see the truths of these schemes, these intrigues, this treason. It's laying out before us, and the evidence, as time goes on over the next year, I predict, will become more and more overwhelming. And one of the thing in the teaser tonight when I put it up, it was, you know, we think they're guilty based on what we know now. These people that we've been talking about, Strzok and Page and Bruce and Nelly Orr and Comey and Clapper and that son of a commie Brennan. But it goes beyond that. The arc of taint, of guilt, of conspiracy moves much higher. So the question was this. We think they're guilty. We think they're guilty. I think they're guilty. You guys, you've got eyes. You know how to look for how to disseminate what's accurate information from misinformation. So what happens? What happens if they are tried and they are found guilty? What then? What's justice? I haven't used it that often, the term, but I have used it, and I'm not reluctant to use it. There are elements of this, and we've got to take a look now at the spying and the surveillance that was going on with the Obama administration against political rivals and opponents. Before this, we thought it just went on for a couple of years. It's been going on for the last 6 years. It's been going on since 2012. Like I said, that's communist, Nazi, police state, Big Brother kind of stuff. It's creepy and it's scary. And we need to be afraid of it. We need to We need to stamp it out. But again, what happens? What do we do? Do we behave as we have in the past by convicting them in the court of public opinion, shrugging our shoulders and saying, well, you know, all politics are crooks. We can't really be surprised at this. Let me go back to my beer garden and my rock concert and Night of the Living Dead, you know. This is a – we're on the precipice. We're not quite there yet, but we're moving towards it. With information, it's coming out every day. It's been locked in testimony and private testimony amongst the various committees for a while now. There are a lot of people who have been in the know on these things. We're just finding it out. It's going to come down to one of two things. Treason or sedition. Now, I'm inclined to think that if you are actively involved in an attempt to unseat a democratically elected president, a constitutionally elected official, yeah, you're looking to overthrow the government. Overthrowing the government, to me, equates with treason, not sedition, treason. In the 1950s, as the Cold War was really starting to heat up, two Americans, a married couple, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, were delivering secrets concerning the construction and materials necessary to build an atomic weapon to the Soviets. At this time, while many countries were working on it and the Russians were really trying to figure it out, the United States had a monopoly on nuclear weaponry. We were the only ones who had done it. We had been testing in the late 40s and early 50s, and this information found its way to the Rosenbergs, who delivered it to, what was that guy's name? They had a point man between themselves and the KGB, and it was Anatoly Yakovlev. I know, it's crazy how I can pull this stuff up. I wasn't even alive then, but there it is, implanted in my massive Starfleet brain. So they gave this information to Yakovlev. He turns it over to his handlers in the KGB, and then something goes wrong, and they're caught by the FBI, who used to hunt communists. They were really good at it. Now we find out they were run by one. Yeah, Comey identified himself. He's idiots. Comey identified himself in a 2003 interview as having communistic tendencies, just like John Brennan did in the 70s. And he's running the damn FBI, an agency which prided itself on the apprehension of communist spies and saboteurs. Jesus wept. Well, the Rosenbergs were caught, and they were arrested. And they were tried. And they were convicted. And within a few months after that, within about 10 minutes of each other, they were sent to the electric chair where they were executed. I'm wondering what would be the public response to seeing James Comey or John Brennan in the dock, having been found guilty, having been by a jury of their peers, and having been found guilty to have sentence of death pronounced on them. What would that be like? What would CNN do with that? What would ABC do with that? Now, obviously, if we go back even further, if we go back to the Lincoln assassination, there were five conspirators who remained who were hung in a military prison inside D.C. One of them was a woman, Mary Surratt, along with her son and Harold Atzerodt. And oh, I can see him plain as day. Can't think of his name. There were five conspirators who worked with John Wilkes Booth, and they were rounded up, and they were executed. Hanged by the neck until dead. Is that what we need? I don't know. I'm not trying to sound overly bloodthirsty here, or homicidal or despotic any more than usual, but there are a lot of people in this country, and I'm one of them, who is beginning to see our justice system as two-tiered. After the O.J. Simpson trial, I used to say that justice is that which you can afford. And one of the reasons that O.J. was acquitted was because O.J. could afford a lot of justice. Is imprisonment enough? Is sending them away 30 years, 40 years, the rest of their natural lives, is that enough? Does a more serious example have to be made? Are harsher consequences in order? And by that, I'm talking about the death penalty. I'm not talking about the chair. I'm not talking about gas chambers or firing squadron. I'm just talking about putting them to death, however that works. And what if a former president is indicted? What if a former secretary of state, former first lady, former secretary of state, former senator of New York is indicted? There's lots of evidence, people. And it's hard for me to imagine a conviction not being a slam dunk with any of these guys. I'm not a particularly astute legal mind, and I don't make any pretensions to be. But from what I have seen in the last 8 months to a year concerning the principles involved and what we will continue to see, is just going to pound the nails in that coffin even tighter. What's justice in this case? Personally, at the risk of sounding, like I said, bloodthirsty or cold-hearted, I don't see the death penalty as an unreasonable punishment for treason. I don't. It was not, and I'm not even, and the Rosenbergs weren't even arrested on charges of treason. They were arrested and executed on charges of espionage. Now, did their intentions have a positive effect on the United States and the government and its citizenry? No, it didn't, because it spurred the Cold War. Short time after that, the Russians detonated their own nuclear device, and we were off to the races. That's where we've been ever since. Would the Russians have developed their own nuclear weapon? Undoubtedly. And they would have attained that information from somewhere else had it not come from the Rosenbergs. Nonetheless, it came from the Rosenbergs. The Rosenbergs were caught red, pardon the pun, handed. And they were lit up for their troubles, as well they should have been. Do we execute James Comey if he is tried and found guilty of treason or sedition? It's very serious. We talk about political scandals, and immediately most minds, if you're as old as I am, go to Watergate being the end-all, be-all. This encompassed this. Oh, God. This is huge, people. Bigger than big. This is 50 Watergates. This isn't trying to get a little bit of opposition research on an opponent candidate. This is an attempt to overthrow a sitting president. So let's just start right there. If that's not treason, I don't know what is. And if we establish these actions as treasonous, and we are able to prove conclusively that these people are guilty of these treasonous actions, what do we do? Richard Nixon, the first president to resign. Bill Clinton, the second president to be impeached. Barack Obama, the first president to be tried and found guilty of, dare we say it? Think about that for a minute. Think of the enormity of that. What would it do to the country? It's like I said, it's a huge thing, people. It's a huge, huge thing. Former President of the United States, Barack Obama, was put to death this morning by lethal injection at Leavenworth Military Prison. I mean, I don't know. There are times when I think about how momentous this thing is, how involved, how very much like Hydra, this monster that everyone else calls the deep state really is. It's frightening. And look, here's the thing. Donald Trump, multi-bazillionaire, chief executive of the United States, leader of the free world. By many arguments, the most powerful, influential man in the free world. And if what happened to Donald Trump, the most powerful, influential man in the free world, if it can happen to Donald Trump, well, you can bet your ass it can happen to you if that's what they want. It's a seminal moment. We stand astride a number of essential course corrections. And this might be the last chance to get them done. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But this is something to give serious thought to. Attorney General William Barr is a thorough, no-nonsense guy. He's going to get to the bottom of it. He's going to find out why this happened. He's going to find out how this happened. And in finding out the why and the how, he's going to come across the people responsible and what they did and how they did it. I expect in the end, though, it'll be like any other organized crime shakedown. The Lisa Pages and the Peter Strzoks and the Bruce and Nellie Orrs and the Christopher Steeles and the Glenn Simpsons and those cats, the upper mid-level types, they're gonna cooperate. They're going to be faced with so many years in jail, with being left penniless. They're gonna talk. They're going to talk about what they did. They're going to talk about who told them to do it. They're going to talk about who else was in on it. They're going to tell everything they know. Everything they know about Jim Comey, everything they know about John Brennan, about James Clapper, about any of their other fellows that we're not exactly aware of yet, who haven't come to the forefront, but who will. And through sweating the little guys, sweating the foot soldiers, they'll move up the regime and they'll take the big ones. But again, what happens if these people are found guilty of the treasonous crimes that we have all been reading about, that we have all been made aware of? What happens? ACP can be heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do it live. Between speakerphones and microphones and we love you, Blog Talk. Bless your heart. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Plus, we have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. Go there. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. You can, if you're not near your desktop or your laptop and you got your device handy, they have an iHeartRadio app, so you want to check that out. Well, I guess that's about all we're going to do for now. We're going to think about it. But this is a very serious question, and I don't really know. I think maybe some should swing, some should bust rocks. As time goes on, we'll find out more as to what's exactly going to happen with that. I'm James Bostic. This is the Conservative's Perspective. We will be back on Thursday live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, taking a look at things as we do through the Conservative's Perspective. God bless you. God bless America.